This is the Golf Life Faith podcast brought to you by College Golf Fellowship. I'm Toby Ragland, one of your hosts. Another host is Jace Barber, and we are CGF staff members full-time. We love serving the world of college golf, and this podcast is going to be conversations with our PGA Tour partners, with CGF and other partners in the world of golf, and we hope you learn a lot. We certainly will along the way. Hope you join us for the journey and learn all areas golf, life, and faith.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Golf Life Faith podcast. Before I say who our host is today, for those who are listening and not seeing clips, who we have on today is a four-time Commissioner's Honor Roll, two-time Provost List, six-time Athletic Director's List, and a 2019-2020 GCAA All-American Scholar. We've got a scholar on the pod today from Palm Beach Atlantic, our guy, Grant Horvat. Grant, welcome to the pod.
Dude, I have never been introduced like that. It's usually like talking about subscribers and everything. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Isn't that great? I took that straight from your bio on Palm Beach Atlantic, and I just said, this is going to be the greatest introduction he's ever heard.
You had to do some deep diving to get
that one. Hey, the SID that put that together, good work.
Good work.
Anytime you can be on a list in college for 6 years, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it wasn't, you know, my college career was nothing too impressive, but I think I got some of those. Maybe those were some like participation awards, you know, that you get.
Hey, but Neil, looking at it, that means you had a pretty decent GPA. Like we're looking 3.5 to 3.7-ish. Like that's solid. You were really putting the student into student athlete. And so I just love that.
Yeah, no, I took school serious. I definitely tried really hard. But yeah, I was never like a perfect A-plus student, but I definitely got decent grades.
I love that. And then the follow-up to that is, before we start getting into stuff, is what did you major in? Because online said marine biology.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious, is that what you ended up in?
So, funny story. I actually, freshman year, went in and I was like, I love the ocean. I want to be a marine biologist. And okay. I'm like, this is my life. Like, I just want to work with coral reefs and sea turtles and whatever. And I, you know, you do your first half of the semester. I was like, it's okay. Got to the second half and really started to see the people that, you know, were in this for the long run. And even they were telling me like, get out, because first off, like if you guys look it up, a marine biologist, money per year, nothing too special, a lot of work, and so I got to a point, I actually failed my first two chemistry tests, and I was like, I got to get out of here. I can't do this anymore. Yeah, I blew. I mean, I'm talking 40% in chem. And yeah, that was just the Lord redirecting me to go and become a business major, which just about everybody does. If you're playing a sport, everyone becomes a business major. So did that and then I switched from marine bio to entrepreneurship, business, the whole thing.
Hey, well, that was a great plan. Ended up working out. It's probably benefiting you now. So I don't know how much the sea turtles would have helped you now. So that's a huge win, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So Grant, just following that, the Lord preparing you for the future. You've been dropping some sweet content lately. You had Adam Scott on, great video. How pure is that guy? My goodness. The WM Phoenix Open, you kind of did a whoop thing with Phelps and JT. That was awesome. How clutch are you? 16, great shot. 17, great shot. 18, great shot. The Tiger video, my goodness. Like you got Tiger, you got the GOAT. Still 2v2s. Like there's so much going on. So just talk through, just kind of current events and, you know, kind of where your head's at. Like, have you been kind of pinching yourself saying, man, like, is this actually happening? And just kind of talk through that, like recent stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like none of it makes sense. It is pretty wild. Like every day I feel like there's a new thing that pops up and, you know, I look at my wife and we're like, how is this our life? But we just keep going. And yeah, I mean, like starting with Adam Scott, he was such a nice guy, super classy. Like there's something about him. I don't know what it was. He was just like he had a way about him that was so relaxing and just such a nice guy. Golf swing was beautiful. Whole golf game was so good. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Adam Scott. Without going any further, I'm a big fan of Adam Scott. He was just like, yeah, he was just such a, I don't even know. It was such a great hang. So huge fan of him. But yeah, the waste management was awesome. 16 at the waste management. I was actually in the pro-am. So the pro-am shot on 16, I was actually more nervous than the whoop shot at Glory. Because it was completely unexpected. And right when you walk out onto 16, they have this guy on the microphone and he starts like listing off everything about you. So like, and I'm talking, the grandstands were filled, like completely filled. Like not one seat. So then that's like thousands and thousands of people.
I was shocked.
And he's like listing off everything, like subscribers. He films with this guy. What like whole
all American Scott.
And I'm like, and they're all you can just hear people like yelling and saying things, and you're just like shaking over this ball. And you know, I, when I got over that shot on 16, I don't even remember what happened, but I couldn't feel my arms and I just swung and it went to 6 feet. Somehow went to 6 feet. And we all missed it. Everybody missed it in our group. Me, Phelps, and then Kelly, Merrill Kelly, who's a baseball player. He missed it as well. So we all missed the putt. But yeah, super nervous at the waste management, but a great experience. It was really humbling because at one point got on the 16th green there when I walked up and kind of like looked up into the crowd and like was fist pumping. And there's like this chant going and it was just crazy. Like it felt like, you know, you see viewers on a screen and then like you see people for the first time in person. And so it was just like it made everything feel really real. And like just the amount of people was unbelievable. So yeah, that was really like really humbling experience. And then
be honest though, when are you going to be more nervous, you know, in front of those, you know, 5 to 10,000 people at 16, or when Toby and I watch you in person at 17 in Jacksonville? Like which one's going to make you more nervous?
17 at Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. That's live you know, live broadcast. I'm really nervous for that, the Creator Classic.
Yeah.
Like that's something I'm thinking about right now. And I'm like, man, like live TV, you better go out there and play good. Cause I got really nervous for the Myrtle Beach Q when I was trying to qualify for that PGA Tour event. It's just a different level of like nerves. I don't know. It's just something you don't normally feel. It's just very different.
Yeah. Well, two encouragements real quick. Before we get down to Tiger and the Phil stuff, number one, you're an insanely good golfer. Like it's shocking. Toby, he hits the driver similar to you. Like it just is straight. It falls a little right. And you kick it's the year of the cut. It's amazing. Yeah, so just trust yourself. And then number two is when, especially at TPC, there's just something about you've seen it your entire life. It's so green and lush. It's just like when you're there, just rest in it, just sit in it and just enjoy it. Like it's going to be amazing. But anyways, yeah, Toby's a stick. Yeah. We need to get you in there. We need to get you playing with Tobes.
It's amazing. I need to do that.
Toby, what's your handicap? Like a scratch.
4-time club champion or winner of the Gator Invitational, beat Billy Horschel. I mean, the list goes on.
Jeez, dude, CGF just recruits some really good players. What happened to Jace though? If Toby's so good,
wow, he's my teammate, bro.
Jace had it going. Our first day, little rough on our trip. Second day, he put the driver away, and he started to strife it. He made
Toby's seen that play many times.
many times wrestled with, how do I tell Jace, like, we don't need woods. Just leave him in the car. You can hit your 3-iron 240 dead. Boy, we'll be fine. But Jace is, you know, we played the USGA four ball together, and man, Jace made some birdies when he was so nervous. But I think I'm convinced I'm right on this. Jace literally leads the world in strokes gained after a top drive.
It's true.
Like
it's true.
After topping a drive, like it's a par. It's an iron away wedge to and he makes it
100%. Yeah.
All right, enough about that. Let's get back to the Tiger and Phil videos.
Yeah, so Tiger, really, really cool experience there. That was my second time meeting him. So I met him one other time at Medalist, and he's been very nice to me. I play a lot with his son, so it's been great getting to hang with him in the small amounts that I have. But that video was super cool. Him giving me a lesson, like there's something about Tiger walking up to the first tee. I mean, it's probably the one human that could really get me nervous. I don't really think there's anyone else. I've tried to think about it because I don't watch, it's crazy to say, but I don't really watch like football, baseball, any other sports. So when I do bring on like these amazing football players and baseball players, for me, it's like, great, like this is so cool, but I don't know like the true value. But when I get like Ricky Fowler or Justin Thomas or any of these guys, they're like they're my Michael Jordans. So it's, Tiger was the one guy that was like, it was just different. The anticipation of Tiger walking up to the first tee, you have 30 minutes. So it was at the TaylorMade shoot. We had 30 minutes and it's like a hard out.
Yeah.
So they give you that, like, they give you that time, that limit. So he has to be out after 30 minutes. His manager takes him. So a lot of pressure there to perform and make a great video in 30 minutes. Mm. And so it's like, what are you going to do? Obviously, lesson was really cool. Just watching him give me some pointers. I think it helped a lot of people out with the low tee ball. So that was cool. But yeah, then the cool, out of all of the cool things that have happened, Phil is definitely number one. Mm. I mean, this series has just been so amazing so far. We don't really talk about the guests coming up. We just kind of, every one of them we want it to be a surprise. So we don't really ever give away who's coming up. But the first one was great, Dustin Johnson. The next one is going to be wild. But yeah, they're so cool. And just playing with Phil and like him embracing YouTube golf and wanting to be a part of it is so cool. Cause I mean, he's a legend, you know, he has a huge legacy and he's really invested into it.
Now I watched the video of you playing him in six up the wedge contest. And
yeah,
it was incredible. I mean, he kicks off the video basically saying like, this isn't going to take very long and you end up winning. Well, I mean, you're chipping against one of the best guys around the green in all of golf history. Like, how was that experience?
Yeah, I mean, watching the way he like uses a wedge, it's like his hands, the way he has like speed at the bottom and how quick and subtle the movements are and the way he uses the bounce. It's so far out of my, you know, I don't think about any of that. I don't even know what the bounce of my club is like, and I probably should, but Phil knows like how it's grinded his wedge and how he can like use it. And it's like around the green, he's hitting these like really, really crafty shots. But that contest, you know, I'm just like, once again, very nervous. That was the first time I met Phil. So like first time we ever were together, actually the first video we ever filmed, that was before we teed off. That was actually on the short game area before we teed off of our first match. And that happened. It was electric. Obviously dunking it on him on the last one accidentally. I haven't dunked a shot like that in years and I accidentally just like hit it too hard right in. And so, yeah, it's just like, it started out with Phil, like everything's just been gold since day one with him. And yeah, it's just like something that I never thought would happen, but very blessed.
That's awesome. So yeah, just that we're talking about YouTube and all that stuff coming up, what you've done, take us back to the beginning. Like, how did it start? Well, yeah, just what was the origin of it? And
yeah, started right out of college. So senior year of PBA, didn't really know what I wanted to do. But I started actually posting some TikToks, some golf instructional TikToks, just to get a feel for the social media side. Golf Talk is what it was called. And so I was posting those, and those were doing really well at the time. Met Garrett, and we kind of started filming together for GM Golf in the early stages, and it was awesome. Like, Garrett and I, we did really well on GM Golf together. And then I joined Good Good when they, I think they had like 100,000 subscribers, or maybe 50,000. I don't know. I don't know the exact number, but I know we grew to around 1 million, and then I went out on my own. So it was a quick, you know, thrown into the action real quick. But it was amazing. And, obviously now being out on my own, has been a life-changing thing. And so, yeah, but looking back at the beginning stages of everything, it was really, really, it was really fast. But the space has grown so fast. So it's kind of just like we've rode the momentum. And yeah, there was, yeah, I guess I would say it kind of started on golf TikTok, Garrett and I, GM Golf, Good Good. And then here we are.
Now, wow. In that process, like, was there a moment or like a video that kind of caught on to where you're like, man, this could be like a full-time gig? Or was that a thought like from the beginning?
Yeah, so the first video ever with Garrett, actually on GM Golf, there was like 1,000 comments, and like out of those 1,000, probably like 500 of them were about Garrett and I's bromance. And so they like, it was just really positive. But me and Garrett, like, since day one on camera, were just like, I don't know, it was just this like weird energy. And we were kind of, yeah, we were just like, it was fun since day one. And I yeah, I think the comments were so positive, and there were so many of them. And I think that Garrett saw that and was like, we need to start doing this more. Cause at the time he had the platform, you know, it was GM Golf. And that was kind of, you know, you go back like 4 years, 4 or 5 years, there was like 5 people, like total. And like, he was, other than like your swing, you know, the coaches, but they were like doing like actual like vlogs and like playing out on the course. There was like maybe 4 or 5 people. It's very, very limited. Now it's like there's hundreds, but yeah, back then it was not many people. And so yeah, it was like, it seemed to have such a positive hit every time we filmed together. And obviously at the time I'm just in college, so it's like we started to film more and more together. And that's when Garrett asked me to come out to Dallas to do GM Golf full time. So it was never my intention to join Good Good. Like, that was never, you know, a part of the plan. And so when I moved out to Dallas, being around all the Good Good guys, they were like, let's just try it out. Like, maybe we'll bring you along for a week and let's see how it goes. And so that's when it started to click. Like, this could, you know, this is going to be a real thing, you know, like this is going to work. You also start to see just the influence when you start to like meet people in person, or you go to like a golf tournament and there's just, you're meeting all these people that are like, love the channel, like freaking out and stuff. You're like, wow, this is real. You know, it kind of like is affirmation that like, okay, what I'm doing, like there's real people that care. It's not like fake, like views. Like, these are engaged, very, very engaged viewers that are like following along and like very invested into everything. So there, those are kind of like the aha moments where you're like, this is really working when you start to meet people.
Yeah. And so kind of just shifting a little bit, you going towards faith and talking about your testimony, how the Lord saved you and then has carried you. You don't have to go into details, but just like, how tough was that good transition to deciding like, hey, I'm going to go out on my own? Because I know you posted a video, you've shared about it before. But talk about kind of the impact of that, but then more so like how the Lord and trust in him, and him carried you through that.
Yeah, that was a very, very tough time in my life, for me and my wife. Very, very quick. And I would say the hardest part about it was the response from the whole YouTube golf community. Pretty crazy, the messages you received. It kind of, what it did though, is it really, like, I feel like it's given me thicker skin, which is good to, like, for bad comments or people saying really nasty things. But yeah, it was probably the time in my life where I felt closest to the Lord. Just because, like, you know, it's easy when you're at the top, you know, to just be like, I'm here, you know, whatever. But the bottom, I mean, I always want to strive to praise the Lord at the top, and I never want to forget about that. But at the bottom, it always seems just a little bit easier when it's like everything's kind of, you just feel like it's kind of falling apart. And so, yeah, in that moment, it was really hard decision. You know, Good Good's this crazy influential group. It has everything going. And to make that decision was super, super difficult, but trusted in the Lord, a lot of prayer during that time. And yeah, he's for sure blessed me more than I could ever imagine. And now looking back, it's like where my life is now. I can't believe it. But yeah, I'm also very grateful for Good Good and for all the people that, you know, I was involved with from the beginning. It doesn't change that. It's just, you know, I made a decision where I thought my life was headed and what I believed in. And yeah, it definitely paid off.
I love that. Yeah, it's been cool to watch you do some of those other videos recently with Garrett, and the TPC one was so good. I loved watching that.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, Garrett and I, we kind of know, you know, if we go do film together, like once in a while, we know that people love it. And yeah, so that was like, we had that probably in the bank for a while, that idea. But we just wanted to strategically do it. And yeah, it worked great. But yeah, it's been, that was really fun.
The only disappointing part about that video was watching you guys try to decide like coffee breakfast before the round. And I'm pretty sure Garrett said Dunkin'. I think that popped up there. Maybe not. It was another coffee shop. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? And I'm very thankful you settled on Foxtail. That's a great spot when you're going to TPC. But a couple of the initial suggestions, I was like, no.
Garrett eats about every like 5 minutes. So he eats food like every second. So it doesn't really matter what it is. That's he just funny. Needs to eat. And so, yeah, that's he loves his coffees too.
Love it. All right. So, yeah, let's kind of move into just your relationship with the Lord. And you know, we mentioned that moment where the Lord carried you through, and the high, the low, and his steady just goodness. But let's go back to like beginning. Like what does your faith journey look like coming to know the Lord and walk with Jesus?
Yeah. So I would say for my testimony, if we really want to get down to the nitty gritty, I don't have like this one moment where it's just like everything, like, you know, I watched someone get healed, you know, I don't have that. And I feel like there's a lot of people in my shoes that don't necessarily have that like crazy moment in their life, whether they grew up with parents that are believers. But actually, funny thing, Toby's on this call. He came to PBA to speak. And that's when I was at a time in my life, you know, going to a Christian school. I was going to chapel. I was hearing speakers like Toby, but not even close to following the Lord. I feel like it was just a thing that I had in the back of my head that was like, you know, if I need him, or if one day, you know, stuff gets really bad, I'll start to maybe like take interest in this. But right now I'm going to have fun because it's college. Like I'm going to just live life and have fun. And so that was kind of like this like internal battle I was having in college. That was like, you know, I'm just going to go out, send it, and just have fun every weekend. And, you know, when I need to follow Jesus, I will. But it was like always in the back of my head. And I felt like, you know, you feel that conviction in your heart, because I feel like everybody, you know, I feel like as humans, we were made to worship. We were made to follow God. That's like in our soul, like where we cry out for something, you know, in our life. And so I always had that, but I just, it was never like something, you know, I went to chapel, I was there going through the motions. It wasn't truly like transforming me. And I feel like when I moved out to Dallas, I actually, that's when I met my wife. My wife was very, very firm in her faith. And I feel like at the time that was not my wife, it was obviously girlfriend and I just met her, but there was kind of this like moment when I was out in Dallas and, you know, when I was, we were going to church out there, that was like, it was just like an aha moment where I kind of, it wasn't like I watched something, but it was like, I'm going to make this decision because I've seen what happened to my life in college and all the guilt and kind of the things I had to deal with of how many stupid decisions I made. And I just felt like guilty about all that stuff. Like I feel like I've always had a pretty big heart. And so like, I was never like a nasty person or like, you know, I just feel like I always felt bad for all the things I did in college. And so I always had that conviction. And I feel like there was a moment in Dallas, you know, I don't know exactly when it was, but gave my life to Jesus. And I really was transformed in that moment. I was like, I want to take this serious because like life, I don't necessarily want to go out and keep partying or just doing really stupid things. And I kind of wanted to change my life. And I feel like also, you know, getting into this social media space, it's like I wanted my brand and image to represent, you know, how I felt inside. And so I felt like there was also that pressure, you know, when there's kids watching, it felt like I had a responsibility to provide the best image for parents and kids watching. I don't want parents to have their kid watching a video where they feel like they have to shut it off because we're saying terrible things or cussing or doing horrible things. So I've always had that like conviction where it's like, I care about the youth and I want to be a great representation of that. And so there was all this like conviction in my life. And then I feel like in that moment in Dallas, gave my life truly to Christ. Like I think I've done, you go through the motions. Back in college, I was like, yeah, I want to do it. And then you just like, you don't really ever truly, it's not like in your heart, but when it's in your heart, like you can hear him speaking every day.
Amen.
That's so good. And as you like, as you process that, obviously there's some, love to hear kind of more of how you process, what are those challenges, being in that YouTube space? And then how do you stay grounded in your faith, with what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's funny. So now like where my life's at now with George and Wes, also believers and people that, you know, I look up to, you know, they're people I spend a lot of time with, and the people that I spend the most time with, I want to be, people that are like-minded. Mm-hmm. And so my team, my manager is believer, my videographer believer, like my whole team, we're all striving for the same goal. And I feel like that's why the Lord has blessed us above and abundantly, is just because we're all on the same page. And I feel like that's, and I don't want that to come across as like, as a Christian, you need to just hang out with just Christians, because that's far from the truth. Like I love filming with, you know, there's obviously, I won't go to a certain extent who I'm filming with, but there, I will go, you know, you name it. I love hanging out with anyone, and being a light to maybe those people that don't have it. And, so yeah, it's definitely, as things have increased and, you know, the channel has kept growing and growing and growing, I still just always, no matter what, my number one goal is to just stay grounded in our values and what the channel was built on. You know, I don't want to ever lose that, because you get so big and then certain things to try and like wash you out. I want to always stay grounded in what we believe. And so there's definitely, I will say along the way, there's been a lot of challenges with like brands that maybe don't align with what we're doing. And so navigating that and saying no has been one of the hardest things. Because you get, you know, in this position, you definitely get some wonderful opportunities, but you always have to remember, stay grounded in the Lord. If you say no to one thing, he brings five more amazing things. So
yeah,
that's really true.
That's huge. So just even just thinking through being a believer, and like you're saying, like, you know, having your convictions, your values, and just wanting to glorify the Lord, how do you stick? Because it's just one of the funny things, we've talked about it a few different times on the podcast, but guys think, well, if I become a Christian, then I'm not going to be competitive, or I've got to be weak or soft, or like, guys just have the misconception that, hey, I don't compete when I become a Christian, which it's actually truly the opposite. There's just this, man, I'm trying to glorify the Lord and trying to beat your brains out so that I can pick you up and help you along. But just like, talk about, you know, because literally all your videos, everything you do is about, it's about competition. It's about, I mean, it's 100%. Entertainment or whatever, but it's competition. So how do you maintain, you know, competing as a believer in the space that you're in, which is super competitive?
Yeah, before we even talk about that, like, looking at Scottie Scheffler, it's like, to say that, you know, you're not competitive as a Christian is crazy.
right.
Even Scotty, you know, you don't get number one in the world and not be a little crazy in the head and get fired up, as in, like, you have some real competitive juices deep in there. And you see Scotty get fired up. And so it's not about that. I feel like it's just about where your true value and worth is. I see Scotty, like, I feel like he's been such an amazing thing for Christianity and golf and Christian athletes, is watching him just glorify the Lord on the biggest stages at the Masters and everything. It's super inspiring, because it's like, I feel like it's really, if anything, it's intimidated his competitors, because his value is not in golf. It's in the Lord. And so I see actually the opposite. So it's like, I see this like fear. It's like, does he even care? Because there's probably, he's competing, Scotty is definitely competing against people that have no relationship with the Lord, and their whole world is like, I need to win this golf tournament. And Scotty's out there with Ted on the bag, and they're probably just like, you know, we're fired up, we want to win this, but if we don't, I'm going to go home to my family and I'm good. Like, yeah. It doesn't really, it's not my whole identity. And so I see this actually, that it's actually kind of like a flip on what you're saying, Jace. It's like, it's more intimidating, I feel like, to have God on your side and to be praising Jesus in the heights of it and in the lows. I definitely, it's not ever made me less competitive. It's never made me less competitive. It's actually just given me perspective when I'm out there competing.
So good.
No.
No, I mean, yeah, there's not many people that you get like super intimidated at, if it's just like random various acts, but like Scotty, whether he's playing a card game or a ping pong or probably just walking to get the door, like the dude just wants to do it. And it's shocking. But yeah, funny story that Webb Simpson has shared numerous times is they're coming down the stretch of the US Open to win, and they're on like, I don't know, 15th, 16th hole, I think. And he looks at Paul on the, what are you saying, Ted?
17 fairway Olympic.
All right, 17 fairway.
Ooh, okay.
And he looks, and they're talking through the numbers and stuff, and he looks at Paul and he's like, Paul, like, we've already won, dude. We're secure in Christ. Our identity's in him. We've already won. And Paul's like, that's great. It's 205, 5 iron. Let's hit a good shot here.
Got
it. It was funny. Yeah. And then he did win. It was great.
Yeah. Hey, it's a constant battle. It's a constant battle. That's hilarious, though. Yeah, I just really think Scotty's like, truly, it's just made, you know, non-believers, people that have never even looked into, you know, they've probably heard of Jesus, but they've never really looked into it. And it's like, I feel like it's made them kind of like, what is, like, he's doing things that, you know, not many people have ever done in the game of golf. And it feels like he just, golf is not his, like, he's not freaking out over every little thing. And so I definitely think it's been amazing. So
yeah,
Scotty's been super inspiring.
Yeah. Before we move on, and I'm sure Toby's got some stuff, I just want to get back to one thing you said I forgot and then just came back to me, is you were talking about in your testimony, which is similar to mine. Like, I don't have a moment, but I know that there was a a transition from it being in my head for a long time to the Lord opening my eyes and it moving to my heart. And I just like, I literally, as you were saying that, I was just thinking, man, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're walking with the Lord? Is when you interact with the God of the universe and you have an experience and a moment, which like you're saying, it could be like a transitional moment of a little bit of time, or it could be one singular moment, is when you have an experience with the God of the universe, you cannot leave that unchanged. Like you can't have that moment and then nothing changes. Like, are we still sinners? Do we still struggle? Do we still fight? 100%. But there's more of a fight. It's like, I hate that even more now. Like, I was guilty because the Lord's law is on my heart. There's a good and bad moral compass that I have. But now it's like, do I actually hate that? And I want to grow. Yeah. I want to get away from that.
Yeah.
And then the Lord, through his spirit, this is the best part about walking with the Lord, is like, he literally rigs the game and he gives you the spirit. Like, I'm going to give you a helper. You can't do better. Yeah. So I'm going to give you a helper and I'm going to carry you. And I just wanted to make sure we didn't breeze through that, because that was such a good thing that you shared about your testimony that other guys need to hear, is like, man, let it move from your head to your heart. Like, if you're listening to this, the Lord's seeking you. Like, if you're hearing this, he's doing a move in your life. And so don't miss that he's calling, and let it move from your head to your heart. And when you do, you're not going to leave unchanged. You're going to change. And the Lord's going to do it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Tobes, any final thoughts before we move to one of our favorite portions of the pod?
I mean, after that, it's hard to just transition into like, what's your favorite meal of the day? You know?
Yeah. That's why we need a buffer.
Like, we need bond and song, you know? I've got this great hymnal in front of me that's holding up my phone. But anyway.
I love that.
Yeah. Just, it's so fun to just think about your time back at Palm Beach Atlantic to where you are now. A lot of times, you know, with CGF, we're spending time with college golfers that we don't necessarily know where they're at. We might get to see them once a semester, have a conversation here or there. But it's fun to see kind of where you are now. And, you know, love getting down to Palm Beach Atlantic. I have a cousin that played volleyball there, Sarah Ragland Kimmy. The athletic area when you walk right in, but to get down there. Got some rapid fire questions for you. I thought of a couple.
Hey, before rapid fire, Tobes, I just want to point out one last thing is, fellas, I don't know if you caught it, but a lot of even Grant's testimony was finding a godly girl who was firm in her faith. And so many guys ask, like, what am I looking for? What am I, you know, searching for? And Grant, you probably, even like you're saying in your head, you probably thought, man, I'm following Jesus and she's a Christian. This is great. But she was firm and that had an impact on you. So fellas, like, looking for girls, like, don't just say, oh, I'm attracted to her, I'm going to pursue that. Like, she had, Sadie had a huge impact in your life and she still is. And so finding a good partner, a good wife, like, man.
They offer a whole different perspective on everything.
That's
right. It's like you think one thing's one way and they're looking at it from a completely different lens. And so, yeah, it is amazing.
That's good.
God created them that way. That's how it works.
That's right.
And I can't believe that you have content of giving your wife a golf lesson, which is pretty awesome. I can't wait to watch that because, you know, when I give my wife a golf lesson, I just tell her to square up the club face and expect her to do it. But I don't.
Yeah, it's tough though. She's definitely feisty when it comes to that. And she does not, you know, she's really competitive. I didn't realize it until you get her on the golf course. And she used to get so fired up. She still does, but she's definitely gotten better at it. Like, golf just, it brings out this whole other side in almost everyone when you're, because everyone wants to be good at what they're doing, you know, especially competitive people that are like perfectionists.
Yeah.
Golf just humbles you real quick.
And we just have such crazy expectations. It's like, you're swinging this club 100-ish miles an hour and it's going around your body in an unnatural way, and you're trying to
and find you have a, to like square it up with your forearms, you
and you're to trying to really find a little spot about that big while you're hitting a ball that big.
Yeah,
and there's a million variables happening, and we're like, why did I not find that in the middle?
Yeah, don't tell me that before this Creator Classic, Jace. Now I'm thinking
No. For you, it's just natural, but for me,
yeah, no. But now I'm thinking about that little ball. I got to square the face up.
It's all right. Your identity's not in it. Just trust the Lord.
Golf is easy. Good path. Good club face. You'll be fine. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Rapid fire.
All right. Favorite meal of the day.
Favorite meal of the day. I'm gonna go dinner. It used to be breakfast. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go dinner now.
Yeah. And
it's changed.
Give me your like. You got one dinner. What's your choice?
Sushi. Omakase, where they actually like you go to the sit down place. The chef hands you each bite. Me and my wife started doing like for date nights once in a while, special occasions, not every night, but that's a crazy experience.
Well, Wesley Bryan, I think one of his favorite meals, dinner, is sushi, but you know, it's like it's Publix Wednesday,
$5.
He doesn't because he's never tasted the good stuff. He's never has.
Fellas, Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Stop tasting and see this other stuff. Come on.
Dude, but I don't know if I want to, you know, it might make his Publix or his grocery store sushi not as good. So
no, it will. 100% will.
If he knows what's out there, though.
Speaking of taste, what's the best golf course you've ever played?
Pebble Beach is my number one.
Okay.
I love Pebble Beach. I'm a big ocean golfer, so I'm very biased on that. I love playing on the ocean. There's something about it, just looking over at the water. But then Pebble adds the elevation aspect to ocean golf. And so, yeah, it's my favorite. Yeah.
What's the golf course on your list? Next, if you could play any golf course in the world today, teleport to the first tee.
Ooh, it's Augusta for sure. I would go Augusta number one right now. But I think that will happen. Maybe filming it, but we're working on that. But probably more of just going out with, you know, a friend or somebody that you meet in the golf world. But yeah, Augusta is probably number one, and then Cypress for sure.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I was with somebody the other day walking, and it was me, my boss, and then this guy, and he kind of like slipped away from us, and you could tell it was an important phone call. And then he walks back over and he's like, "Fellas, playing Augusta tomorrow." And we're like, wow, sweet. And the funny part is he had just finished about 5 or 10 minutes of sharing, man, I've got to go help my wife in Birmingham. I got to get her car and then do this. And then we have to drive down to the beach together. He's like, talked through all these plans. And then we're like,
they all changed.
Are those plans gone? He's like, yeah, they're gone.
Hey, none of us here blame him.
Oh, no. It was amazing. But it was
that call
two days ago. It was like, man, that's a.
I think that.
Like the guy literally said, "Hey, meet me at Hangar, whatever, at 9 a.m. tomorrow, and we're going on the trip." And he said, "Yes, sir."
That's so funny. That's amazing.
And good premarital counseling. Hey, if I get the Augusta invite, everything, whatever it was, it's camp.
Yeah, she has to be ready for that one. Like, I'm dropping everything. She's got to understand that one.
Yeah.
Okay. What tour player do you think would be awesome at creating YouTube content? Who's like a surprising guy?
Who is or would be?
Would be.
Would be.
Not out there now. You think, man, this guy could do some great work. Would you?
That's a great question.
It could be terrible, but you might want to see it, you know?
I feel like the hard truth is the personalities of the golf world, the true personalities, the ones that got the most fire and wild side, they all went to Live. I feel like the true, like, you know, crazy wild ones. So I'd probably look to the live side. Someone that's not doing, I'd probably be like a Bubba Watson could be really solid. I think Bubba, he's got some a
Bubba
lot of
Claus.
character. Yeah, he's just
Yeah.
got like a lot of pizzazz and character. But that's, yeah, it's hard to say. That's a great question, 'cause like I would say Phil was one that, like, you know, he's obviously already doing it, but he was one that I saw and was like, okay, like he's built for it, you
But
know?
on
Like he loves the trash talk. He loves to, like, that's what you gotta love. You gotta love like talking and like having a good time. And that's, Phil is like, let's talk, like let's go back and forth. And not all golfers are like that. Some are like, I'm in my bubble, don't talk to me.
when you dunked it on him,
Yeah.
it did not look like he enjoyed that. So.
No, but that's good. I wanted him to not enjoy that.
Okay, again, you got to come up with a list of four guys here, okay? Pre-2000 golfers that you would want to shoot the 500 challenge with.
Free
Before 2000, yep, pre-2000.
golfers that I would want to.
Golfers who played the tour before the year 2000, you know, everything before that. So you can go back as far as you want. 500 challenge, you get to pick anybody before.
When you say 5 under challenge, what are we? Is that like a scram? You mean we're scrambling to shoot 5 under?
No, like you and Adam Scott video, you get to shoot that video with, say, Hogan.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So I'm gonna go Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
Actually, just saw him 2 days ago at Bears Club. I didn't say, I should have said hi, but I was not, I didn't want to bother him. Jack Nicklaus, probably number one. And these are people I haven't done it with, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jack Nicklaus, probably like Vijay Singh.
Oh.
I think he's a great one. Freddie Couples. Ben Hogan. Probably Sam Snead.
Love that.
Yeah, probably those five.
So
And
good.
those are kind of just like
Yeah.
coming off the top of the head. I've never thought of that. But I'm just thinking like golf world, people know their name. Yeah, Ben Hogan's definitely got to be up there.
So good.
On camera, Hogan could be like sneaky amazing. Never know. You know? Right.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what he was like. I've
Yeah.
never seen a video
Who
of him really
knows?
talking.
Yeah, I think man, I'm glad you said VJ, because when Adam Scott talked about the sound VJ made hitting a 5 iron, I'm like, that's pretty
Yeah.
solid.
Still
Yeah, that was
to
cool.
this day, probably one of the best shots. It was just a standard shot, but one of the best shots I've ever seen in my life was 17 at Quail Hollow, for the Wells Fargo. It was probably 2016. VJ on number 17, just like a 6 iron from like 220. Like it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Just 6 iron, 220 high, like the highest I've ever seen. Cut kind of over the water to about 5 feet. And it was
Yeah.
just like, oh my. It's like shots that Scotty hits on like every other hole. But in
Yeah.
that moment, I was like, I haven't seen somebody hit a golf ball like that ever.
Yeah.
It was pretty incredible.
It is. It's just when you watch Scotty now, it's like he does that
Oh.
every round. You're just like, what?
Which I mean, VJ in his defense, he how many times he won that 1 year? Nine?
I was gonna say, I think it
10?
was double digits, 11.
Yeah, maybe a 10 or 11. Yeah. I thought it was 11, but I was like, no, it wasn't 11.
No one
I
talks
think it
about
was.
that, you know?
Yeah.
You never hear
So,
about that.
all right.
But
So,
hey.
all right. So, last question before we wrap up. If you weren't doing YouTube, what would you be doing?
I
And it's
have
totally hypothetical. So,
tried to
it could
not
just be
think
like
about that.
dream. I know, but
Yeah, yeah,
it could
yeah.
just be like, oh, this is what I'd be doing. This would be what I
Well,
would
I'm
love
doing
to
my
do.
dream. So I am, if I were to say what my dream is, it would be what I'm doing right now. Like there is nothing,
Okay, that's a
not even
cop out. Give us
single.
one of something else.
Let me think here. Dream. I feel like hard to say. I definitely, I think maybe owning a golf course would be like really cool.
Yeah.
I think running an entire golf course, like it's your golf course.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really rewarding thing. Yeah. Finding like some investors and kind of get you creating golf courses, designing them. It's definitely up there. Maybe real estate. I enjoy how, like, just, I love cool houses. Kind of killing it in that area would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I love it.
It's hard to say. That's a great question. That one's tough.
That's good.
It's tough. I just don't want to ever think, I don't ever try dream, and think baby. Of it. Yeah. I try and never go there. I'm like, we got what, you know, we're going to go on this. But yeah, you never know.
All right. Well, G, thank you so much for coming on Golf Life Faith. Toby, great work. And yeah, buddy, we will be praying for you, and hopefully you'll get about 100 more subscribers after this.
Come on. Come on, baby.
But no, seriously, it's been fun to get to know you these last few months and just see the few people that you've kind of been around that have talked to me after. They're like, it's so cool to see that the guy that they see on a camera is the same guy that you are just living your life. You're a man of conviction. You're a great husband. You're going to be a great father one day. And it's just been great to hear your story. So thanks for sharing so much this morning.
I appreciate that. Thank you guys. Toby. Yeah. Thank you, Jace. Really appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, you got it.
Thanks, Grant.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to the Golf Life Faith podcast. Whether you're a college golfer, a coach, or you just love golf, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, please email us at podcast@collegegolffellowship.com. Also, check us out on Instagram at College Golf Fellowship and on Twitter at CGF Tweet. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and be on the lookout for the next episode next month. Cheers.